colleague Senator Sununu, who I expect will be here at some point, who has already demonstrated a dedicated commitment to Africa in his first couple of months as ranking member of this subcommittee. By now, we are all aware of the tragedy unfolding in the Darfur region of Sudan. More than 2.5 years ago, my colleagues and I were among the first to condemn the atrocities in Darfur as genocide. And since then, Congress has appropriated more than $1.5 billion to ease the suffering of innocent Darfurians. The U.S. government and many other concerned states, acting alone as well as through the UN and the African Union, have intervened with diplomatic, humanitarian, human rights, and development assistance. Efforts driven in large part by effective grassroots activism, to which I give great credit. Despite, however, these ongoing and well-intentioned efforts, today in Darfur, millions remain displaced and at least 200,000 people are dead. Humanitarian space continues to shrink, and peacekeepers, aid workers, and human rights actors are increasingly the target of violent crimes. Perhaps most worrisome is the Sudanese government's growing denial of the crimes and crisis in the West. This morning I woke up and turned on Today's Show and watched Sudanese President Bashir claim that rape, quote, doesn't exist, we don't have it, unquote. He went on to allege that the United States was fabricating evidence of atrocities in Darfur just as it had before invading Iraq, implying that the Americans have ulterior motives in seeking to end the violence in Darfur. In the meantime, we are seeing the brutal tactics of Darfur and their tragic consequences transferred across the porous border into eastern Chad and the Central African Republic. Even before the recent outbreak of hostilities in the north, the Central African Republic was suffering extreme poverty and deemed by the UN's Office of Humanitarian Assistance as, quote, one of the world's most neglected emergencies, unquote. Similarly, I visited the Ariba refugee camp in eastern Chad in January of 2005 and was struck even then by the rising inflow of Darfurian refugees. During that same visit to Chad, I also noted the growing disillusionment with President Deby's government and the lack of government's democratic space for political change. My conclusion from this trip was that Chadians outside the government were preoccupied with the problems of poverty and rural development, but it worried me that this was not a major concern of the government of Chad, nor was it at the top tier of the U.S.-Chad bilateral relationship. Political unrest in Chad has sparked violence that has displaced more than 100,000 citizens of Chad, adding to refugees from Sudan and the Central African Republic in crowded camps, and has created a downward spiral of security and humanitarian conditions throughout the region. Last month, Senator Sununu and I introduced a resolution to highlight the destabilizing impact of the ongoing violence in the Darfur region of Sudan on neighboring Chad and the Central African Republic. Each of these countries is struggling to cope with security and humanitarian challenges of their own, but the spillover of rebels, weapons, and brutal tactics, along with the flood of refugees and internally displaced persons that such violence creates across Sudan's western border, has exacerbated these emergencies. As long as these conflicts persist, the crisis in Darfur will be prolonged and vice versa. No effort to restore peace and stability to this bloodied region in the heart of Africa can succeed unless we commit ourselves to a coordinated, comprehensive approach. Tribal rivalries are not constrained by national boundaries, so neither should we pursue localized solutions to what has become, in fact, a regional conflict. That was the motivation for our bipartisan resolution calling the United States government and the international community to promptly develop, fund, and implement a comprehensive regional strategy to protect civilians, facilitate humanitarian operations, contain and reduce violence, and contribute to conditions for sustainable peace in eastern Chad, the Central African Republic, and western Sudan. Today, this hearing will explore the need for an integrated approach to peace in this region. With that said, let me introduce our two distinguished panels. On our first panel, we have Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Mr. Jim Swant. In addition to having previously served as Director of Analysis for Africa in the Bureau of Intelligence and Research, Mr. Swant has devoted most of his professional life as a career foreign service officer to various African countries facing complex political transitions. I hope he'll be able to draw upon this experience to give us some insights into the current situations in Chad and the Central African Republic. We look forward to a review of recent developments in U.S. policy in this region, including the administration's priorities as well as its strategies and allocated resources towards achieving these aims. Mr. Swant, I would also appreciate your assessment of the impact you believe the United States is having in each of these countries in addressing both the immediate needs and longstanding grievances of the affected populations. Following Mr. Swant, on our second panel, we will hear testimony from two respected individuals representing the humanitarian and academic communities, respectively. Both Ken Bacon and John Prendergast have firsthand experience with these conflicts and their victims, and both have written extensively and even testified before Congress on these and related foreign policy issues. Ken Bacon is the president of Refugees International, an advocacy organization based in Washington, but with operations that serve forgotten or neglected populations in crisis all over the world, including Chad and the Central African Republic. To learn more about the needs of internally displaced people and what can be done to reduce attacks on civilians in these areas, Refugees International recently sent an assessment mission to visit IDP camps in eastern Chad, as well as the extremely isolated and nearly inaccessible conflict zones in northeast and northwest CAR. We are fortunate to be privy to this on-the-ground update, and I hope Mr. Bacon will also share his perspective on both the successes and failures of existing efforts to ease and resolve the conflicts in this troubled region and what more needs to be done. John Prendergast has worked on crisis issues in Africa for the past two decades and is currently a senior advisor to the International Crisis Group and co-founder of the recently launched Enough campaign that aims to end ongoing crimes against humanity and prevent future mass atrocities. We look to you, Mr. Prendergast, for analysis of the internal political situations in Chad and the Central African Republic, as well as the regional dynamics that bind these conflicts with the Darfur crisis. Additionally, the subcommittee would appreciate your insights into what you believe is needed at the national, regional, and international levels in the short, medium, and long term to ease and resolve the interrelated challenges of this troubled region. We're very glad that you're all here today, and we appreciate your willingness to testify. Thank you and welcome. The information and insights you share with us this morning will help my colleagues and myself better understand these complex conflicts and the role we can play in resolving them through a coordinated, comprehensive result.